on the PowerPoint. I love these words. We don't read them every time, but it's great reminders of the power of the Word of God. Say these words with me. Read them together. It is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. Amen. We believe in the power of the Word of God. It is our foundation. Our faith rests on what the Word of God gives us. So we go now to Galatians chapter 4. We'll read verses 4 and 5. The title of the sermon, When the Fullness of Time Had Come. The first word of the scripture says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So today, we begin a series of Christmas season sermons. We begin with Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. And he's writing these words. He's saying, but when the fullness of time had come. The truth is that all of us have our moments when we grow impatient. All of us have those moments where we're waiting for that thing we prayed for. We're waiting for that thing we've asked God to do in our lives or in the life of someone else. And over time, if we're not careful, we'll become concerned because the prayer is not answered right away. It takes a time longer than what we would like. And it seems like the difficulties or the thing we're praying about, it just persists. But I want to remind all of us, including myself today, that God is always on time, at just the right time. As our scripture says, but when the fullness, or when the right time had occurred, that scripture is saying, God sent forth His Son. We're going to look at the beginning of the Christmas story. I love the Christmas story because it's full of amazing people and characters and angels and miracles and the supernatural. And it's so inspirational. So we'll begin looking at three characters today. We start that with number one, Zacharias. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, the first chapter of Luke. We'll have these words for you as well on the PowerPoint, but Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin reading this great story about this man, Zacharias. We'll begin reading in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. I like that word. Here's a married couple, and it says, and they were both righteous before God. Verse 7, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. I like that expression. He didn't say they were old folks. They were just well advanced in years. I really appreciate God's word, the tenderness He has toward us folks to get old. In verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, and he's speaking of Zacharias here, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. What beautiful words. Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. She'll call his name John. You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will turn many of them will be turn to the Lord their God, I should say. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And he referenced himself as an old man, but he was kind. Again, his expression, how he called his wife just well advanced in years. He was a smart guy. Verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Look at this next image with me on PowerPoint. It's Zacharias and his wife. They had waited, they had prayed, they had longed for a family. They longed for a baby, a child. I'm sure they longed for a son, someone to carry on the family name. They'd waited all those years, they'd prayed all those years, they kept trusting and kept believing, and yet nothing had happened. Are you hearing that today? That may be the case for some of us right here, right now, today. But I imagine at some point they probably in their hearts had this sense to just give up. Just give it up. But God's time was perfect. God's timing for meeting the need in their life was perfect. And you see this next PowerPoint with me, this image of him and the angel coming to Zacharias. And he says, your prayers have been heard. I love that expression. Can I tell you, God hears our prayers. Oh, when we pray, he hears our prayers when we pray in the name of Jesus. Well, Zacharias, he showed his doubt. He said, well, how can I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years. He couldn't believe it. He could only see the natural. He couldn't see the supernatural. God, help us to have eyes of faith to look beyond the natural. God, give us the supernatural faith to look toward that thing that God can do miraculously for us through faith in the name of Jesus. To dare to trust Him to do the impossible. That's what He's asking you and me to do. Trust me, He says, to do the impossible. He was saying that to Zacharias. The angel was saying that this is going to happen. It's going to be great. As we know, Zacharias, he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And the angel sensed all of his doubt and unbelief. And I'm just going to paraphrase in my own words what we read in the scripture of the angel's response. The angel is saying, Zacharias, look at me. Look right here. Do you not get it? I am no ordinary angel. I'm not just one of the angels. I am Gabriel. I am he who sits and stands in the very presence of God. And God the Father has sent me here to you to give you this good news. Do you not get it? You should be understanding me. Your wife is old, and yes, you're old, but by a miracle of God, your prayers are going to be answered. And he went on to tell him. He went on to say, it's not any ordinary child you're going to have. Listen to me, Zacharias. Your baby boy is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit when he's still in his mother's womb. He's going to be great in the sight of God. And he's going to cause the hearts of God's people to turn to the Lord. And he's going to go before the Messiah, the Christ, to prepare the way. And he's going to go in the great power of Elijah. And people will be prepared to receive the Messiah because of the ministry of your son. Now that's a message from an angel, isn't it? What a powerful message. God has sent that message, and yet Zacharias, he doesn't believe it. And as a result of his unbelief, as we read in the scripture, the angel says, you're not going to be able to say a word. You're going to be mute for the whole rest of this time that your wife is carrying this child because you don't trust what God is telling you. Well, 6 months later, his wife Elizabeth is with child, and the Bible tells us that she hid herself and she told no one that she was going to have a baby. I don't know. It doesn't tell us why she did that. If it was just because she couldn't believe it, or she think people might make fun of her because she was so old, or who knows what, but she hid it. She didn't let anybody know until it became very evident physically that she was with child. When she gives birth, the Bible tells us that on the eighth day, that she and Zechariah went into the temple. According to the custom of the Jews, they went into the temple on the eighth day to have the young boy circumcised. And Elizabeth, because Zechariah can't talk, she's telling the leaders of the temple that the child's name will be John. And the leaders of the temple said, whoa, wait a minute. There's nobody named John in your family, and normally you'd be naming him after the father, Zechariah. And they're looking and they're making signs to Zechariah to let him know, what do you want to do? Your wife is saying his name's going to be John. And the Bible says he took a tablet and he wrote, his name is John. He said that was the only time his wife was right in their marriage, the whole time. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. I'm sure she was right many times. He said, his name will be John. And the Bible says, immediately his mouth opened and he spoke. And it says that fear came upon all those that heard him. And they asked, what kind of child is this child? There's something special about this little baby. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord was with him. And it says Zechariah at that moment was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. There's a beautiful prophecy in the Bible. I encourage you to go back and read that prophecy. What a great story, isn't it? Now, let's go look at another character, the second character, number two, and that's Mary. You still have your Bibles open to the book of Luke. We're going to go over to verse 26. This is a great narrative and story. Now the Bible transitions from Zacharias and from Elizabeth to Mary. Beginning in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. She'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now pause with me for just a minute. The angel was encouraging Mary to have faith, to believe the impossible, by telling her that there was a very old relative of hers, a cousin named Elizabeth, well beyond childbearing years, and yet this woman, Elizabeth, has conceived and is in the sixth month, and says, who was called barren. And then verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. That's still true for you and me today. For with God, nothing will be impossible. What a great message the angel has given to Mary. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, contrast with me the response that Mary gave contrasted to the response that Zacharias gave. Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. I receive this. As your word has said it, I believe it, I receive it. Whereas Zacharias said, I don't understand how this is ever going to happen. I'm paraphrasing now. Mary learned that no matter what her plans might have been, God had a plan that was eternal, It was an eternal plan. And verse 33, and of this kingdom, speaking of her son, of his kingdom, there will be no end. Our Savior Jesus has a kingdom that's never going to end. And we're going to be with him forever and ever if we know him as our Lord and our Savior. Mary learned this important, powerful lesson that God's promises are unfailing. As the angel told her, speaking of her son, he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. What a message this young girl received from the angel. I have no doubt Mary must have been familiar with the promises and the prophecies regarding the Messiah, the one that was going to rule over David's throne, the one that would be born of a virgin. I'm sure she was familiar with the prophet Isaiah, who had prophesied in the 7th chapter and the 14th verse these words, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Mary probably had heard or read that prophecy. Now this young virgin is hearing the angel say, "It's you, Mary." 700 years had passed since that prophecy by Isaiah. The years had gone by, and yet God was ready to fulfill his promise. Look at the next PowerPoint with me. It says, suddenly Gabriel is delivering this message to this young woman, Mary. What a great event that was. What an amazing time that was to receive that message for this young woman. I'm going to tell you today, don't let go of God's promises. The Word of God is full of promises. Promises personally for you. Don't let go of those promises. No matter how long time seems to take, no matter how long it's been since you begin to pray and to knock and to ask, don't let go, because God's Word is unfailing. His promises are unfailing, and they are eternal. Mary learned that in a very real way in her life. That takes us to the last character we look at today in this Bible story, beginning of the Bible story, and that's Elizabeth, the third point, Elizabeth. Also in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 39. Look at this. We've gone from Zacharias over to Mary. Now we're going back to the wife of Zacharias, Elizabeth, beginning in verse 39. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She's in a hurry. To a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth is her relative, her cousin. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Pause with me for 1 second. The angel had appeared to Mary. The angel had given her this incredible good tidings that she was the chosen one that would bear the Messiah, the Son of God, as a virgin. Now, don't you know that the enemy had begun to work on her to tell her she just had a bad dream or it wasn't real and all those things? So what does God do? He sends her to her relative's home, Elizabeth, where he's already doing a great miracle in her life, the fact that she's carrying a child now in her womb. And when she walks in the door, just walking in the door of the home of Elizabeth, it says that suddenly Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she began to say things that Mary had never told her, that no one could have told her but God through his Holy Spirit. She suddenly says to her, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is a virgin. She had no idea what had happened in Mary's life, but the Holy Spirit was upon her. She said, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the mother of my Lord. Blessed is she who believed. All Mary is hearing is another miracle of a relative telling her God is doing a great miracle. You can't believe it. Isn't it just like God to reassure her? As He loves to reassure us, if we'll take time to allow His Holy Spirit to speak to us in His Word to encourage us. The Bible goes on to say, and then the song of Mary, verse 46, and Mary said, I love this. I know you've read these before. I don't know that we have all here on the PowerPoint for you. But she goes on to say, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for He's regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich He has sent away empty. He's helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. You see this image of Mary together with Elizabeth rejoicing. God's love and mercy is flowing through both of these precious women. The power of the Holy Spirit is at work in both Mary and Elizabeth, and even in the child that Elizabeth is carrying. Because as Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, that child in her, John, was filled with the Holy Spirit still in the womb of his mother. And it confirmed God's grand design and plan and gave evidence of His faithfulness, gave evidence of His power. He wants to remind you today of His faithfulness and His power. Don't be weak. Be strong in knowing that God is faithful to you and His power is waiting on your faith to reach up to Him, for Him to fulfill those requests and prayers and the cries and the heartbeat requests that you've made to Him. God's plans are eternal. His promises are unfailing. His power is indeed unlimited, isn't it? Well, we say amen to those words. Matthew 19 and verse 26 says these words, With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Do y'all believe that today? Say that with me. With God, all things are possible. So let me just conclude today by saying this. You are not here by accident. You're here by a divine purpose today. Our difficulties are opportunities for faith to come alive. Our difficulties are opportunities for you and me to believe. And to know that God is on time in the working of our lives. God is on time in the working of the lives of those that we are seeking His help and His aid and His salvation for. His blessings are always greater than our expectations. Think about that in your own life for a minute. His blessings are always better than our expectations. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were just praying for a child. They just wanted a little boy. What did God give them? He gave them a boy filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. He gave them a boy that was going to prepare the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist was his name, as we know him today. Mary, a young teenage girl, probably like many young teenage girls her age, hoping for a good husband and a family and children and be a good mother. God says, Mary, I'm going to bless you with children and a good family and a husband, but there's a little extra something for you. You're going to be the mother of the Son of God. How incredible that must have been to that young woman. Let me ask you today, what are you praying for? What are you asking God to do in the lives of your family, loved ones, children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters and friends. What is the need? What is your desire? What is it that's so overwhelming? Let me tell you, whatever you're asking for, remember this, that God does the impossible. Nothing is too hard for God. And I love the words that the angel gave to Zacharias, and the Holy Spirit is giving it to us today. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. God hears your prayer today. He's waiting for you to ask if you haven't been asking. He's waiting for you to just reach out in faith and to ask Him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask Him in faith in Jesus' name. Let Him show you His eternal, unfailing, unlimited power to do the impossible, to do the miraculous. And let me just remind you, His timing is always perfect. Conclude today with this story of a man, a very wealthy man, a very rich man, and his hobby and his passion was art. And he collected art from all over the world. He had some of the greatest works of art that any individual had compared to many museums. The home, the massive home that this rich man lived in, had just incredible paintings and works of art. He only had one son. His wife had died when the little boy was very young. As the young man grew up, he had the same passion and love for art that his father had. They were very close. One day, war came to their country. And the young son said, "Father, all the other young men are going to fight for our nation, and I must go and fight. I must do my part." And very sadly, the father saw his son leave, though he was very proud that his son was fighting for his nation. Five months later, the father got word that his son had died in battle. None of the details were known other than that his son was gone. He wasn't coming home. The only relative he had was gone. He was so heartbroken. He grieved. He hurt deeply because of the loss of this son. One day there was a knock at the door, and he opened the door, and there stood a young soldier in his uniform carrying a package. He was a stranger to this man, and he said, "Son, who are you? What are you doing here?" The young man said, "Are you so-and-so?" And the man said, "Yes." And he said, "And was your son so-and-so?" And the man said, "Yes." And he said, "Sir, I served with your son in the army. I was with him when he went down in battle. I was with him holding him when he died. And when he died, he gave me his Bible. And he said to tell you that he died bravely fighting for the nation. And he died trusting in Christ as his Savior. And he gave me his Bible that had your name and this picture of you in it. And asked me to come and see you and to bring it to you and to give this message to you. May I come in for just a moment?" The man is now weeping. He said, "Oh, yes." The young soldier came in and he embraced him. And they sat down. And the young soldier told him all about his son and the battle and everything that had happened. And he told the father, he said, "I have a gift for you." He says, "I know you love fantastic artwork and painting, and know your son did, but I'm an amateur painter, and what I've done is nothing compared to the famous work you know, but I have this painting of your son that I've done for you. I want to give it to you as a gift." And the old man unwrapped the package, and there was this very, very beautiful image of his son that this young soldier had painted. Now, it was no great work of art, but it was an incredible likeness of his son, and the man instantly loved it. He thanked the young soldier. He took that painting of his son and he placed it in the place of highest honor in his room, in the great room over the great fireplace, so each day he could look up and the memory of his son would be with him. Time went by. The old man got old and sick, and he finally died. And he had no heirs, but he had a will. And in the will, he gave instructions for the executor of the estate to hold a massive auction, to auction off all the great artwork that he collected and his son had collected over the years. So they sent word out that on a certain day was going to be this auction, and everybody knew this man. He was famous, and they knew he had these works of art that were just priceless that museums wanted. And so representatives of museums and collectors all over the world were there at his home that day to bid on this priceless works of art. They all gathered, and the auctioneer began, and he says, "Before we go to all of the world-renowned artwork, we're going to auction off this picture of the deceased man's son. And he held up the picture of the son. And somebody in the background yelled, "Oh, we don't want that stuff. Let's get to the good stuff." The auctioneer says, "No, this is the instructions of the deceased that the first thing we auction is the picture of his son. Who'll make a bid for this painting?" And there was just silence. And suddenly an older man held up his hand and he said, "I work as a servant for the neighbor next door. But I knew this young man and I knew his father and I loved them deeply and they were wonderful people. And I don't have much money, but I'd like to buy that painting and I can only give $50, but I'll give $50 for it." The auctioneer said, "We have $50. He'll go to 75, he'll go to 100. And he waited and waited and no one bid. And somebody said, "Come on, let's get on with it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold to this man, this servant of the neighbor, for $50. And immediately the auctioneer then announced, "This auction is over, it is concluded." And all the people in the room became angry and upset and said, "What are you doing? What do you mean? We came all this way. We're here to have an opportunity to bid and own this priceless works of art. What are you talking about?" And the auctioneer said, "It was the will of the Father that whoever took the Son gets it all." That's the way it is for our Heavenly Father, isn't it? It is the will of our Heavenly Father that whoever takes Jesus, whoever takes the Son, gets it all. Oh, when we take Jesus, we get it all. We get forgiveness and grace. We get to be part of the family of God. We get to know Him personally. We get the joy and the peace and the hope. We get to know that Christ, the Son of God, by His Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in our lives. When we take the Son, we get it all, folks. Hallelujah. This Christmas, rejoice in that fact that we know the Son of God. And we've got it all. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for this eternal truth. Thank you, Father, for this hope we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that truth. When we know Christ is our Savior, we have it all. We have everything that your love and that your desire is for us. Let us reach up in faith and receive it and be blessed by it. Let faith grow. Give peace to hearts that are weary today. Give hope to hearts that are discouraged. Lift up hearts that are full of darkness with your light and your love, and bless those here today with that assurance of the presence of Jesus. Do all these things I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Aren't you glad you know Christ today? Don't you love Him with all your heart? Amen. Would you please stand with me this morning?